let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's right. We are here live and local. It is Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score on a victory Monday. Bears defeat the Rams 24-18. And we are going to hear from Jaquan Brisker in just a second, his thoughts on the game. But the text messages are coming in, which I appreciate. Let's get some phone calls. I need to chat. I have questions. I have questions about this Bears team. And a lot of people have questions about this Bears coaching staff, which is, I mean, harsh. You heard Eberflus having to having to answer some of those questions. So a lot of people, things have been said about Shane Waldron. I'll tell you. Okay, you know what? Screw it. Tyler, give me that clip that I sent you on Twitter about Caleb Williams. Pull that one up for me. Let me know. Oh, you got it already. Oh, I love this. This is where we're starting. I tell you this all the time. If you listen to my show, behavioral communication is one of my degrees. I pay attention to nonverbals constantly. And there are nonverbals within the verbals, right? Because you can hear words, but how they say the words, which are the nonverbal parts, right? So, and you pay attention to the actual words and which ones are omitted. I want you to take a listen to Caleb Williams talking about the Bears offense, specifically after the meetings with Shane Waldron. Take a listen to this.
Us doing a good job and communicating when we get into the locker room. I think this first half we had a bit more penalties than we wanted to. I think the main thing with that and the execution was the penalties. First half to second half, we were putting ourselves in advantageous positions in the second half and things like that with the sticks and staying ahead of the sticks, and then compared to first half with the flags or with us with negative plays, we didn't do as well compared to the second half, and it shows. I think our work throughout this past week was different than our other weeks before, and I think that that goes to our leadership, that goes to our communication, what I've talked about multiple times. I think the growth is there. I think, the leadership and the vets that we have around to be able to help lead and, get to positions where we want to be, which is obviously on Sundays winning games. So, super excited. Super proud of the guys. We're coming out to win.
I didn't hear coaches there. And that was my biggest takeaway. When they asked them, what was going on here? What was that? He didn't say the coaches. He said the players. He said, we stepped up. The veterans in those moments. The veterans are the ones that stepped up. That's an interesting thing there. And it's a big takeaway because you always hear people praise their coaching staff. Coaching staff getting us ready. Coaching staff making sure we're there. Tough, man. From the 815, or excuse me, last three digits. Damn, we're giving away people's numbers again. 570. So the issues I'm seeing with Caleb, still not accurate. Huh? Few of his throws were way off in the end zone. I'll address that first before I go on to the second one. Coach Eberflus wants Caleb Williams to throw it where no one can catch it. If you're going to throw it and it's too close, just throw it where no one can catch it. Is it? All right. And that's what I felt like he did in those instances. The second point 570 makes is he needs to move back in the pocket, like step back, like all good QBs do. Stafford, Allen. Isn't the QB coach should be teaching him to move back so he can see the field clearly and have less sacks because defenders need more to step up to reach him. I think you're talking about the amount of steps that are in a particular drop. These are predetermined, 570. So on a particular play, it's a 3-step drop, 5-step drop, 7-step drop on a play action. So these are predetermined depths. And they do that so that way the wide receivers have an opportunity to run their routes if they are deeper. So move back in the pocket. I mean, I guess if you want to run away a little bit more, I understand that. But from the 6-0-6 again, Bears team is not good enough to flick a switch. This team is going nowhere if they can't master the basics, like starting a play. Yeah, they definitely got to get that in there. And then lastly, from 426 says, thank you, playoff contenders. Yes. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear your thoughts on the Chicago Bears game today. Bears take down the Rams yesterday, 24-18. Here's a question for you while we play the Jaquan Brisker. Should the Bears shift their offensive identity towards the run game now that Swift had a little domination? Because you heard Caleb in the post game talk about it was balanced, needing to find a rhythm. If we're operating well on running the ball, let's run. If we're operating well on the pass, let's operate there. So should it be a run? Because, man, 56 passes threw me off. When you're watching the Bears offense in the first three games, if you didn't know anything about the Bears, you would think they were a dominant, high-flying passing team. Because in every situation, Caleb was put in a position to try to save the Bears with his arm. And they were not running, depending on the run. You could say, oh, well, they were ineffective there. Yeah, but you still got to run the ball. You heard, Adam Amin talking about it today, that on the broadcast, you have to soften up defenses over a while. And it started to pay dividends in the second half. You just have to. And so, what do you want the Bears' identity to be? Do you want it to be run dominant? After 4 weeks, do you want this Bears' offensive identity to be one that is run dominant? Or do you want the narrative to shift on Chicago Bears' offense? And you do want them to be, because they have Keenan Allen, because they have DJ Moore, because Rum Dunze's there, because Cole Kmet is a viable option at tight end. Do you want them to continue to work and grow and be a passing offense?
It's funny hearing you say that. Did Rum Dunze have a catch today? Did I miss that?
No, I think he had...
He broke out last week, but...
Yeah, Rum Dunze had one catch.
One catch.
For 10 yards.
Okay.
And I think even... See, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at stat lines, Tyler, then yeah, it looks like a great game that maybe, like, if you were in search of a wide receiver on the waiver wire, you'd pick up Rum Dunze. But unless you watch the game and you understand that, he was the beneficiary of a couple of good passes that then tacked on yards to then what became a good day because of a touchdown, then it seems like then you can tell that it's an outlier and not something that was sustainable. But don't forget, Keenan Allen was back today. Keenan Allen had 3 targets. So, and Caleb only threw the ball 23 times as opposed to the 56 last week. So difference there. They weren't chasing points. A lot of differences there. But
like you said, Gabe, when you have a run game, everything changes. Yeah. You don't have to pass 50-something times a game.
That is right. And the Bears certainly did not have to do that as they defeat the Rams 24-18. But let's take a listen to some guys on defense in the locker rooms, man. Again, phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. But we're going to hear first from Jaquan Brisker and what he had to say about this Bears victory.
Really nice day for you and the team. Can you talk about both of those things?
Yeah, it was just a great day. Team came out. We play our type of football, offense, defense, and special teams, and we got the W today.
How rewarding is it when Flus dials up your position to blitz and then you get home like that?
Finally, right? Finally. I've been waiting for that all year. So finally he dialed it up. A great call. Pushed the quarterback back and got the sack and, shot the ball in error.
Been in his ear?
Nah, I just let him do what he do. Only on one call, but not to blitz me, just to blitz everybody else. Yeah.
First half, you had a weird sequence where you get called for the penalty. Was that a penalty?
No, it wasn't. I ain't here to whistleblowing. He still was within the white, so I just hit him like I usually do and randomly got called for a flag.
And then it looked like you had to make good interception, and then that gets called off. So what's going through your mind at that point?
I owe the team one. Just get my mind right, just stay locked in, stay focused, and try to get the ball at some point today.
And then you did in the fourth quarter. So how good did that to put away interception?
Yeah, it felt good getting a game-winning pick, especially on Matthew Stafford and things like that. Really, I just get a credit to the coaches. Before I went out there, they told us what they were going to run and things like that, and I trusted what they said and went out there and did what I did.
Coach talks about complimentary football, and the defense really kept you in the first half. How gratifying was it to see the offense have those two great drives in the second?
It was great just the way they came out. They came out how they did in practice, and you practice how you play. So they came out fast and physical like they did in practice, and they did their thing. So it was good.
What did you see on that final play, the ball that came your way?
Yeah, I seen the like I said, trusting my coaches. So they said that he was going to chip number five, which he did. He chipped, and I just reached back. He was running out, and I picked it. Seeing the ball, obviously, shout out to DT. Hit the quarterback, big hit. Seeing the ball go crazy, and just had to lock in and catch it. It was like last year I dropped it against Detroit Lions, and that was like one. I was like, I can't drop it like that again. I practiced a lot of drills this week, and it showed up in practice.
You might have had a runway to the end zone there. You know that, right?
Nah, I had to get down. I had to get down.
What did you see going in, and what did that do for kind of the momentum?
I seen the receiver cut down, so I was like, let me get outside of here so the tackle doesn't see me. And as soon as the tackle didn't see me, I was like, go get the ball. And then I see him duck under. I'll just, like, get the sack. So really just try to hold on to the sack, and pretty much it.
Jaquan Brisker out of Penn State leading the team in tackles. 12 total, 8 solo. You heard him talking about the sack that Coach Flew's dialed up. You heard him talking about the interception as well as a pass deflection. Just a great game from Jaquan Brisker. We'll hear from Montez Sweat in just a second, get his perspective on the man who came down with the important sack, strip sack fumble, and a pass deflection as well. But I want to hear what you guys have to say, man, about this game in particular. How did Caleb Williams perform? What kind of identity you want from this Bears offense as we continue to move forward? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phones. Cruz from Logan Square, what up?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Nah, I just want to keep it pretty straight and simple. I'm just saying, like, the Bears, they come out, they got a lot of bad history. And there's so many things that come and attach themselves to the reputation of how the Bears play. So how many quarterbacks have we seen there? Great quarterbacks, Hall of Fame quarterbacks that have played a hard game just like today that Caleb played. They're all pro players. Everybody's a pro. Once you make it to the NFL, you're a pro. I understand there's a lot of schemes that have to come into play when it comes to the offensive coordinator giving information to the quarterback. So Shane Waldron, I don't like him too much because what we've seen the first three games. But Caleb is trying to do his thing in the situation that he's in. And I give him credit for being a pro today and getting a good W.
When you look at Caleb Williams, is he what you thought he'd be when you knew the Bears were going to draft him?
Well, I mean, giving comparison to the quarterback class that he came out with, obviously he's not having the start. I mean, the beginning of his career, like we anticipated, number one draft pick. But in my opinion, the Bears believed in him. He believed that he can come in and do the job that he was walking into with all the rumors of a bad offensive line, everything that he had to deal with coming into that. Give him credit for stepping up and getting a W when his team has this horrible reputation.
Yeah. And
in my opinion, and I don't want to argue, but I'm just basically saying, I think he played like a pro today, and there's a lot of pro Hall of Fame players that seen what he did, and they're like, he's got guts.
Yeah. No, I mean, we can't take that away from him. You mentioned coaching in the beginning and how it affects offense, specifically the Chicago Bears. When you look at this team being coached by Coach Eberflus, you said you don't like Shane Waldron. Does that hold true for the head coach as well?
In my opinion, I honestly believe that the head coach, he's struggling to get everybody in line with what the you know, the plan of the what the team of the what they're trying to do. But I don't think that he's a terrible coach. I think he's inexperienced.
Yeah, I mean, he's sharpening his knife. He's sharpening his sword, as we would say. You know what I'm saying? Cruz, he's getting there. But what about this Bears team in the present, right? Sitting at 2-2. They cover the spread. They hit the over. They beat the Rams like they should. They're beat up. No Cooper Kupp. No Puka Nacua. You know what I'm saying? The team looks different.
They should have won, yes.
Do you view them in the present as a playoff team?
At the moment, I don't.
Really?
At the moment, I don't. I don't think that they would. They might make a playoff, but I don't know if they'll win a playoff game.
Okay, well, you can't answer my, you can't say no to my question by asking a completely different one. All right, the question was, do you think they're a playoff team?
Yeah, I honestly feel it because it matters what every other team does. That's why I said they might make.
Here's what I'll say though, Cruz. The Bears, the expectation for the Bears this season should not be to win a playoff game, right? That shouldn't even be the expectation. The expectation should be battling for a playoff spot. That is the victory for this season. If the Bears get there and the rookies and the young players that they have, the Jaquan Briskers, the Kyler Gordons, the Darnell Wrights, the Roma Dunzies, the Caleb Williams, these guys, if they can taste a little bit of playoffs before having the pressure to be successful in the playoffs, that's the victory for this team right here. And so I think right now, if the playoffs end today, or excuse me, if the season were to end today, I know it's way too early, but the Bears would have that last playoff spot. They'd have the last wild card spot, edging out a couple of teams, but obviously these things are going to change. But, I mean, they'd be there, and hopefully they could maintain that position. Cruz, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. 312-644-6767. I want to take your call, too. I want to hear what you have to say about the Chicago Bears team. After this victory on Sunday, do they look like a playoff team to you? I agree with Cruz. The latter half of that statement where it says, I don't think they'll win a playoff game, I agree with that. Because let's say if you're facing the second best team in the league, you know, assuming that records are going to change, that second team could be Detroit. That second team could be San Fran. That second team could be the Eagles. It's tough sledding. That's tough sledding when you're looking at who the Bears could face if they were to sneak into the playoffs in that seventh spot. And I'm talking about in the grand scheme of things, not shooting to see who's going to make the Super Bowl, but just pitting team against team. But when you look at that, you know, I think the good thing that you can say is the Bears are, if your expectations were to see them in the hunt, searching for that last playoff spot, they are that. In the present, they are that. They are hovering around 500. They can get some points. Their defense can play defense, but their offense can become stagnant, and the defense can give up big plays. Were you going to say something, Tyski?
I was thinking.
I got you. I'd like to get your opinions, too, on the radio. It's a long show. You know, we got to be chatting over here.
No, it's just like the NFL is such a long season, right? I know it's like 17 weeks, but we're a quarter of the way through the season. And, like, the offense, I feel like, hasn't even hit their potential yet.
It hasn't.
Like, the defense, we know this is going to be probably what it looks like all year. What if Caleb Williams throws 20 to 25 completions on a regular basis?
Yeah. And then, because then it just looks like what your point output total is, right? If you're looking at some of the teams in the NFL this weekend, Tampa Bay put up 33, Washington put up 42, San Fran put up 30. Baltimore put up 35.
Minnesota, 31.
Minnesota and Green Bay, 31 and 29, respectively. So, you know, the top teams are putting up big points. And every other team that's in the mushy middle is right where the Bears are, right?
I'll make a prediction, too, for tomorrow going off of that. Detroit will have upper 20s into the 30s as well.
Yeah. Seattle's a good defense, but they'll put up those points. But the teams that are putting up, you know, points in the middle, right? Pittsburgh, 24. NOLA 24, Atlanta 26, Raiders 20, the Panthers 24, Texans 24, right? So, I mean, there's a lot of those. So I was like, you know, where are you going to be? But hey, you know what? A good defense, you can change the tide on a lot. Speaking of defense, a guy that made a huge impact today, Montez Sweat, talked to the guys in the locker room. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it was great, man. Just a win is a win. Just coming out with the dub feels good.
Montez, the strip sack, you singled up with a tight end. What did you see in that decision?
Man, I felt disrespected, honestly, man, with a tight end on me. I did what I was supposed to do.
You made it look easy there. You feel like you had it before the even snap was even taken?
Yeah, I kind of noticed Sean McVay was dialing it up, man. They was eating off the play action and the run. It was just a good play.
It's funny that you say you feel a little offended by that as opposed to relieved, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I see around the league some of these good edge rushers getting these one-on-ones with these tight ends. And I kind of look back at my film, and I see I don't really usually get those opportunities. So it was cool to get that opportunity that one time and capitalize on it.
So are you thinking, what are they thinking?
I definitely felt disrespected.
You sense the lift that gave the team at that point. Your offense wasn't unlocked at that point. You were able to get a 16-yard touchdown.
Yeah, man, it's just all phases. We want to get an offense, a short field. They was cooking today. D. Swift went off. Caleb did a good job, and the offensive line was moving guys off the ball. So, yeah, it was good game in all three phases.
How bad did you guys need this one? And did you feel that coming in?
I mean, shit, we want to win every week. But definitely this week, man, coming off a loss, man, getting back to 500, man, it feels good.
We talked to you a couple weeks ago about, you know, you didn't have a sack and you were feeling like it was coming now 2 weeks in a row. Is this what it should look like, you think?
A little bit. There's still a lot of areas that we as a defense and myself can clean up on. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get back in the lab, man, and get back to work.
Tez, on that, I think it was either their first or second drive when Dexter gets that sack. What does that do? It just felt like that threw off their momentum.
Yeah, man, Dexter's playing at a high level right now, man. We always waiting on somebody to get the party started, and Dex did that, so we fed off of him.
Tez, you guys are going to be on the field, close the game out like you did. You feel like before you even took the field there, you guys were
ready? Yeah, that's how we want it, man. To close the game on defense, man, we was already saying somebody go get a turnover, strip sack, interception, something like that. That's what we expect.
Montez Sweat talking there. Feeling disrespected. I love that. I feel disrespected. Put a note in there that he cursed. Somebody needs to edit that out. Definitely caught that. But I can't believe he said, first of all, I can't believe he said that.
Are we allowed to play that on the radio? What he said?
S-H-I-T? No.
I didn't hear that. I was on a call, but I missed that.
Oh, he said S-H-I-T.
I gotta edit that.
Okay, you gotta edit that out. And it was good. I'll tell you this.
I heard the three-letter word, not that one.
Oh, no. One of my old co-hosts, because I used to freak out when callers would call in and curse. I'd get so mad because I'd be like, are you an idiot? Like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you have to have the... Well, I'm the idiot here, not realizing that.
No. I'm talking about callers.
Oh, yeah. But you should have that callers come in.
That's what I'm saying. We're all adults. Right. We know you can't curse on the radio.
Exactly.
And so when I used to hear people curse, because I would take live calls all the time. You know, I take live calls all the time. I do nothing pre-recorded. And so they would curse, and I'd get so mad, and I don't know. I'd feel entitled to a rant. And I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? Are you stupid? Like, we can get fired, isn't that? Like, you know, if you love us, don't curse on the radio. And then my co-host told me one time, he said, Gabe, you can't be so upset when people curse because it means they're comfortable with you. And they're talking to you like a friend. And that's probably how they talk with their people. So Montez Sweat right there, to take the story full circle. It was obvious he felt comfortable with the people he was talking to, with who the people he was talking to in that locker room.
This is actually, yeah, like I said, I will definitely go back and this is not the first time Montez Sweat has had this. Grody has sent us countless
threads. Where he's telling you about.
And he, the last time it was all caps, please edit Montez Swears.
Montez Swears.
Same thing last time.
That's the new nickname. No, that's his nickname now.
Montez Swears.
Instead of Montez Sweat, it's Montez Swears.
Okay, I like
that.
See
what I did there? All right, let's take some more phone calls, man. 312-644-6767. Some people are texting and saying, there's nothing to talk about because it was a boring game. Everything happened how it was supposed to.
Action-filled game.
Well, maybe not to all. Chad, checking in on the Odyssey app. Shout out to everybody listening on the Odyssey app right now. What were your thoughts on today's game, Chad?
Honestly, my thoughts were that is exactly how I would love to watch every game go. he did what he needed to do in the passing game, and we had over 100 yards rushing today with two rushing touchdowns. Make your defense tired and then do what you got to do. It's also nice to know that we have a quarterback that can throw for 300 yards, maybe not with 53 passes, right?
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that we have a quarterback with an arm that he can do it if he's got some protection and he's comfortable. That doesn't mean it's going to happen every time. But you asked, like, what kind of offense do you like to see?
Yeah.
I like the guessing game. I like them not really knowing what we could do. And everybody's got to come together and perform, obviously. But, man, I got to tell you what, that's not boring football. That's exactly smash mouth winning football. I have no issues with how we won that game today.
Chad, it seemed like a very well-balanced attack. You heard Caleb mention it in his post game. He said, hey, you know, we wanted to go what was working, but things seemed to be working, right? The run early with DeAndre Swift, our play actions were there. Caleb Williams on intermediate throws was hitting him. When you look at this team and you see in your mind, right, because as fans, we have our projected growth for our squad, right? When you're looking at this Bears team and you're seeing how they're progressing, you know what's ahead of them, a bunch of divisional games and everything. What is the next couple of games for this Bears look like for you, Chad?
I want the defense to keep every team under 20 points. Okay, if they can keep the team under 20 points, the opposing team under 20 points, and we can do more than 20 points. That's always been our thing. Our defense can hold a team for under 20, and then we cannot be balanced enough to get three touchdowns or enough field goals. Right? Like I don't know if that answers your question well enough, but man, I got to tell you what. The first three games, we held the Texans under 20 points. Yeah. No one talked about that. Nobody talked about how we held C.J. Stroud under 20 points, right? Let's not do halfback options on fourth and goal anymore. I think we learned our lesson. And you take that kind of play out, like take that out and just eye formation what you need to and let this kid throw when he's comfortable. I really don't have an issue with anything that's happening.
All right, let me take you here, Chad. Let me take you here because when you're looking at the next five, no, don't, dude. We're chatting right now. I love this.
I got you.
By the way, 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open if you want to jump in as well. I'm going to go through the next six games for the Chicago Bears. I want you to tell
me win
or loss. Okay.
All right.
First up, Carolina next week.
Carolina. That should be a win.
Okay. Andy Dalton, Bears defense, hold them in check. After that, Jacksonville in London.
Jacksonville in London? Man, I hate overseas games. I think that's a win.
So do I. All right. After that's the bye week, then they go to Washington to face the Commanders.
See, now, that's going to be a fun one because that kid has got some confidence and support around him, right?
Yeah.
Not that ours doesn't, not that our kid doesn't, but that kid has got, he's on flow right now.
He feels like, cool. When I watch him, he reminds me of like a Tua, where he gets the ball out quick, very accurate, you know, kind of a Tua.
Yeah.
All right, so win or loss there, what you got?
But listen, I think we win, but the thing is you have to get Swift and Roshan or Herbert going, right? Four yards a carry. And you have to keep up tempo. He was so much more comfortable with just a little tempo today.
Yeah.
He got in a groove with his tempo. He really did. And that was much better to watch. Like, there's a lot of things to do and there's a lot of things to fix, obviously, every year, every game.
All right.
But that, like, there really wasn't a point in that game where you're like, holy cow, what are we doing, right?
Okay.
It was a game. It was a very, very balanced, well-run game.
Yeah, they got it. That has to be the identity of the Chicago Bears moving forward. Now, you're three games in. You got two more to go. You got Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, man. They're going to have to lose sometime, right?
I don't know. I don't know. You keep saying victories here. All right, we'll take a loss there. 3-1. New England after that, I'm going to assume a victory. And then the sixth game would be Green Bay. That's why I wanted to get to at least a divisional game. First,
I don't care. We always got to beat Green Bay. We will never lose to Green Bay as a projection. We cannot lose to Green Bay in a projection. We have to always win, right? We have to.
Especially in a projection. Thanks for the call, Chad. I appreciate it. He got us going 5-1. We got the Bears going 5-1.
Love it.
Bears go 5-1, and they're 7-3.
And the city is going crazy.
Dude. I want to do an overnight shift every night to talk about the Bears if they're 7-3.
Bears are 7-3. This city is rocking.
Bro, 7-3?
Oh, my God.
And that would lead you right into Thanksgiving. You'd be 7-3 going into, like, family time where you can have a happy Thanksgiving dinner and talk about the Bears.
I would fall to my knees in disbelief, but it pure, utter happiness.
Right.
If someone would have told me the Bears would be 7-3 heading to that Lions game on Thanksgiving.
I love it. 3-1-2-6-44-67-67. Listen, we all have access to the Bears schedule. You see what the next six games are. What do you think the Bears will do in those next six games? You can text us 312-644-6767, or you can call us. That's the one I'd prefer, so I can chat with you. All right, we'll take those calls. We'll play some more audio, and we'll continue to break down this Bears game. Bears defeat the Rams yesterday, 24-18. I'm talking about it all the way till 5 a.m. right here on 670 The Score.
Stretch for that football. And now the tempo again as Swift gets going. There goes DeAndre Swift for his first Chicago Bears touchdown.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Taking your phone calls and giving you the opportunity to talk about your Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. Bears beat the Rams 24-18. Behind the legs of that man right there, DeAndre Swift. What a game he had today. 16 rushes, 93 yards, averaging 5.8 yards per rush. Take that and put it where the sun does whatever the sun does. Long run of 36, touched pay dirt for the first time this season. 7 catches for 72 yards as well. Had a 27-yard scamper on 7 targets. DeAndre Swift certainly had himself a game contributing to the win today. And we want to hear what you got to say about it. 312-644-6767. Let's go back out to the phone lines. We got Joe. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe. How's it going, man?
Good to talk to you again, Joe. What you got for me?
Yeah. So I want to piggyback on what you were talking about with the last caller about the games coming down the stretch. I think the Panthers, you know, Andy Dalton, he's been doing, I guess, pretty good since he took over. But I think the Bears will beat the Panthers at home. The international game, the London one, I mean, the Jaguars, I don't know if they won today, but I don't think they've been playing. Okay, yeah, they haven't been doing very good this season. I know that for a fact. I know the last time the Bears were in London, it was not good, but I think the Jags are worse than the Raiders were back in 2019. So I'll take the Bears there. I can see them pulling off against the Commanders, but like you said, you got to lose at some point. So let's just say the Bears keep it close and then they lose that one. As a Bear fan in Green Bay, I really want them to beat the Packers, but I just don't see it. At least not now. But overall, though, you know, heading into the bye and afterwards, I think so. When you said 7-3, I thought that was very ambitious, because part of me has seen so many crappy Bears teams in my life that I don't believe that 7-3 is even a possibility. But at the same time, yeah.
Wait. But you know what, Joe? Because I don't want you to continue your thought. Remember, before the season, Kyle Long came out and said, Bears fans need to change their mindset because things will be changing with Caleb Williams under center.
Yep. I'm stuck between what Kyle Long said, and I'm also stuck between what George McCaskey said about being patient.
And what Bill Belichick said about this Bears roster. They're all coming to play there.
I saw that.
All right. So, but are you happy with where the Bears are at right now, Joe?
I would say so. To be perfectly honest, I picked them to lose this game just because I think McVay and Stafford were, you know, too experienced and too good. So I was pleasantly surprised that the Bears pulled this one off. And I like that they got the running game going, even with Roshan and DeAndre Swift. Of course, DeAndre Swift has a good game after I dump him in fantasy. I let him go in a fit of rage last week.
But
I'm happy he played. I'm happy he played well. But he just, you know, Caleb, yeah, he missed some throws, but he looked more, you know, I guess poised out there because he's not pressured to throw 50 passes in the game, and the running game is actually working for him. So I think if they continue that in the long term, it's only going to help him out.
I think one of the most unique things about Caleb Williams, Joe, is this level of believability that he has. Because it's one thing to have it in yourself, right? I think we all have that, you know, naive confidence, right? Sometimes it is overconfidence in ourselves.
Yep.
But it's another thing when you make other people believe it, right? Like you are so confident that everyone else is like, yeah, no, I trust this guy. He knows what he's talking about. And sometimes it's your car salesman. Sometimes it's your teacher. And in this instance, it's our quarterback where I see him at the podium week in and week out. And he strikes me as a guy who, because we forget he's a rookie still, right? But he strikes me as a guy. And the part that we forget, Joe, is that rookies are younger than everyone else. And if we're all grown men, I'm a grown man. I'm over 30. So it's like, I say to myself, oh, I remember when I was 20 and I had this foolish confidence that I was the greatest thing in the world. And then you get 28, 29, 30, and you're like, I would have destroyed my 22-year-old self, right? Like, if you were to line up my 22-year-old self with my 29-year-old self, my 29-year-old self will kill that person. I was talking about physically in a fight. They're like, dominate him mentally, everything, just like way better. And we forget that that's a leap that football players take as well. But Caleb has it in the present, where you believe it in the present. Like, oh, in 2 years, 25-year-old Caleb Williams is going to be a problem in the NFL. And that's the part that gets me excited.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. And as an almost 29-year-old and looking back at my scrawny 20-year-old self, I agree with you there.
You'd put him in a chokehold so quick, Joe. It'd be done in seconds.
Yeah, I wish my metabolism was faster from back then, but there's that too. But yeah, man, I agree. I think you know, in a couple of years, as Caleb gets more experience and he has that confidence now, and it's going to continue to grow. I think it's going to be awesome.
Do you have the Bears pegged as a playoff team right now after these first four games? Because you know they won the game that you thought they were going to lose.
You did mention that if the playoffs were to start today, they'd be like the last team.
Yep.
I think, as long as things kind of go the way they are, I think the Bears will sneak in as the last team. I think expecting them to win a playoff game is very ambitious, and I'm not expecting it. But yeah. I think if they at least fight for a playoff spot, even if they make it in and they lose that first game, it's something to build off of from years to come. Because the last time that happened was in 2020, where I don't think they had any business being in that game at all.
Yeah, I was at that one. That was a tough one, too.
Yeah,
let me ask you one more before I let you go, Joe, because I like this conversation we're having here. I look at this Bears defense, and clearly there are tons of studs on that side of the ball. But who do you think is the true leader of this Bears defense?
The true leader? I'm torn between Brisker and Sweat. I'm leaning a little bit towards Brisker because he kind of leads that secondary, and he's been here longer. But also Sweat brings that veteran presence that the Bears desperately needed last year, and it's still continuing on. So I've never been in that locker room, so I don't really know for sure. But it's probably going to be one of those two guys, I think.
I love it. Joe, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate the time. I'll be on next week, too. Look forward to hearing from you then, man. We'd love to chat it up about this Bears game.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Always, always. 312-644-6767. Shout out to everybody that's working overnight. I'm here for you. I got you. They asked me to work. I said, absolutely. I did a bunch of these last year, and I know that the overnight crew is in full effect, man, and out there with these Bears opinions. So I would love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. 67-67. You got questions to answer. Who's the true leader of this Bears defense? You love it so much. The Bears looking like a playoff contender after this first couple of games. And then DeAndre Swift, you know? Is he as dynamic as the game showed?
I really, really liked that question you posed to Joe about the true leader of the Bears defense.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a two-part thing. Well, number one, do you have a true leader on the defense? And number two, would you rather not have a true leader of the defense or have a collaborative effort?
Yeah. I mean, and it's a great question. And when you have so many talented pieces on the defensive side of the ball, there doesn't necessarily need to be a leader per se, but there should be a glue guy. And I think that's a fine line to walk there as well. When you have so many personalities, guys that, I mean, if you have Spider-Man and Kyler Gordon as your nickelback, like who's really going to come up to him and tell him what to do, right? So it's like, it's not going to be Jaquan. They came in at the same time. Jalen Johnson can say something to him, but he's still Spider-Man flipping. Montez Sweat will say something to him for sure. But again, but you don't even need to do that. You need a glue guy. You need a guy that's bringing people together. And I think that's what Jaquan and Montez, if you've been listening to their post games, that's something that the both of them do well. They're loose. They're fun. And they're talented. So we know what that's like to have a jokester in the room. But when the jokester is talented, again, it acts as a glue guy. And that ultimately is what the Bears need. From 751, say you need to have Gabe on after every game at midnight. I won't say the last part he put in there, but it's not good for the health. Gotta be honest. My radio career, I've gone from working mornings, waking up at 3, to nights the last 2 years on 670 The Score, to now, you know, throwing in a couple of overnights. It's rough.
You've experienced the entire sleep schedule.
Like, and when I first started in radio, I would do overnights, board hopping, like producing, and then I would go do the morning show, like as an intern.
Oh, wow.
So I would do double duty shifts and those things. So it's
a lot of caffeine, a lot of naps.
No caffeine, but a lot of naps. I was just in my 20s. I was like you, Ty. Ty guy.
I still need some caffeine to get me through the night, but yeah, yeah. I surprisingly can go without the naps.
I bet it.
Kind of surprising.
That is surprising. 312-644-6767. What's not surprising? Bears got the dub. You thought they would. I thought they would. And now I want to hear from you. Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. We got Will out in Forest Park, my neighbor. Okay.
What's going on, gentlemen? Gabe, I'm formerly Will number 2 from Des Plaines. I actually just moved back into the area. How you doing?
Ah, wait. I got you written down right here. Will number 2 in Des Plaines. Wait. Look at this. Your dad's stepping story. I got you, bro.
That's it. Yep.
I know. I take notes. I got my people lined up. I know who my callers are. All right. Will number 2 in Des Plaines, now in Forest Park. From Des Plaines. Is that right? I got to change your name now? I got this.
Yeah, got to change it a little bit because there was another Will that called from Des Plaines as well.
Yeah, Will number 2 in Des Plaines with the dad. I got you. Will number 2 in Forest Park from Des Plaines. I got to change your name in here because I keep my people lined up. All right, so talk to me about this game, Will. Of course, man.
Well, here's the thing. I'm on sabbatical from my Bears fandom for this year, and I'm not going to go into details why it's not even necessary.
No. Mental health is important.
But I will say this. I am glad the Bears won this game. I think they've been making improvements from game to game, even though some of them haven't turned out the way we would have wanted them to. But at least I feel like this game will quiet some of the nervous folks and some of the boo birds. I mean, we've got a rookie quarterback who, in my opinion, is going to be outstanding. Just let them settle in. I'm not happy about the coaching, but I haven't been happy about the coaching for the last several years. So, and I think there will eventually be a change there. That's just my opinion. But like I say, good win. And like I say, hopefully this win quiets some of the people that are nervous and are kind of ready to jump off the ledge already, which they shouldn't be.
Will, let me ask you this. So did you watch the game or no?
I listened to it. I turned on the radio.
Yeah, I get it. You're busy, man. You just told me at the beginning that you turned off your fandom. I get it. I don't expect you to watch the game. I like that. Talk to me about like what I mean, obviously you're still talking about the Bears because the Bears are number one topic in most sports fans' minds when, you know, Cubs and everything else is happening. So what are people saying when you talk to them when they talk about this team?
Oh, I've heard some negative things about Caleb Williams. I've heard some negative things about Eberflus, who I happen to share a birthday with, May 17th. I'm not really happy about that.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this on the tail end then. What could bring you back next year? Or what will bring you back?
Oh, here's the thing. I'll be back. I'm 51 years old. I was 12 when the Bears won the Super Bowl. I'm born and raised on the west side of Chicago. I will eventually be back. But here's the thing. When it comes to Chicago sports teams, when I'm not happy with them, I take a break.
I hear that.
I did that to the Bulls. I've done it to the Cubs. I've done it to the Sox. That's why, honestly, I don't remember Jay Cutler's time here because when they traded away Kyle Orton, and I didn't like the stuff that Lovie Smith did with Chico Rivera and brought in Bob Babbage, who he eventually had to demote after paying him all that money. I didn't like a lot of things that went on with the Bears, so I stopped watching.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough, man. I get it. It can be that way sometimes. I mean, if I didn't have to cover for my job, I probably, not the Bears, but I'd probably take a break from some of these teams. But I understand. All right, before I let you go, I know you're new to Forest Park, so I got to drop you a couple of restaurants. You know, I'm the Oak Park boy now, so I got to. But Forest Park is my favorite. Oddly enough, I don't go out often in Oak Park because they just don't have a bunch of restaurants. So I end up going to other places like Berwyn or Forest Park. Listen, the strip from Harlem to like Circle Drive, you know, west of Harlem on Madison Avenue is low key might be one of my favorite strips in the entire city. Like in the whole city of Chicago and little surrounding area on Madison, west of Harlem, that whole strip with like Fat Duck Tavern, Junction Cafe, Chubby's Hot Chicken, Churion or whatever it is, the taco spot. I mean, they got some really really great spots out there. Have you found one that you really like?
Well, here's the thing. I've lived in both villages, Oak Park and Forest Park, since I came home from college in 94. I went to SIU. Like I said, I'm from the west side. One thing that surprises me is that Doc Ryan's is gone. Doc Ryan's has been here forever. Even matter of fact, I used to work at Oak Park YMCA. My uncle was a coordinator there. And we used to go to Doc's, beginning in 94 after work. So when I returned to the village, which has been about a month and a half, I said, wait a minute, where's Doc's? And Doc's is like totally gone. I don't know what they're doing with the space, but that was a pretty happening bar for a number of years. And a family bar at that.
What's your go-to breakfast spot out there?
The place on Oak Park Avenue, just south of the Green Line.
George's?
On the west side of the street.
Yeah, George's. Okay. The family restaurant.
That's it.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I'll see you there, man. You know, Mark Grody and I, we like to you know, try things out there in Forest Park and Oak Park. So maybe we'll see you around. Make sure you say what's up to us. All right, Will?
Well, these are two great villages to live in and to be in. So I'm so happy to be back. So it took a while to get back here, but I'm happy to be back. Well,
glad you're there, man. Thanks for the call, Will. I appreciate you.
All right. You'll be hearing from me. Take it easy.
Yeah, I'll be here next week, too. So make sure you call in 312-644-6767 is Gabe Ramirez. Here on 670 The Score, hanging out with you till 5 o'clock on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. So many guests that are going to be on the show today, but the big names: Olin Krutz at 7 with Mully and Hall, DJ Moore at 8 with Mully and Hall. Then you got Kurt Warner with Spiegel and Holmes, and then Jalen Johnson at 5 o'clock with Spiegel and Holmes. Just a great day altogether. It's going to be awesome. And then You didn't hear me mention Bernstein and Harris, but that kicks off today. You saw the tweets, you saw the everythings, and starting at 10 o'clock will be the debut show. It's odd because it's a debut show, so you're expecting something new, but they've been hosting together for like a week and a half. Not this week, but like the week before that. You know what I'm talking about. Bernstein and Harris on the Score. Bernstein and Harris will continue the reaction to the Bears game. They'll be joined by Anthony Herron at 11 and Dan Weider at noon. It really is a great pairing. Marshall Harris is becoming a good friend of mine. Last week, Thursday, I bought over 150 tickets to the White Sox game. Did you see this? I bought over 150 tickets to the White Sox game. Started as 100, had to buy more. I had over 600 requests.
Holy cow.
Went out there with a bunch of people, and Marshall Harris was one of them. Ended up hanging out with me. All right, you want to hear something really funny before we go break?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Marshall and I are sitting next to each other in section 108. with my kids, my mom, a bunch of other people. And then Eddie from Barstool walks by.
Oh, boy.
And then I start talking to Eddie, and I'm like, oh, what up? You know? And then we're talking, and, you know, I don't care about anything. I'm just saying what's up. And then he's like, yeah, you know, the thing was crazy at your station, right? And I was like, oh, look, there's Marshall right there. Like, there's Marshall right there.
You went into that conversation really fast.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm a respectful guy. He's a Chicago guy. He's not, I'm like, oh, you know, I don't care about that kind of stuff. I got nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's a nice guy. Everything, you know, worked out. It was just funny. And I just made the joke to both of them. I was like, hey, guys, let's just not take a selfie with all three of us together.
Probably for the best. Probably the best.
All right. I guess I'm in such a good mood because the Bears won. And I know you are, too. It is a victory Monday here on 670 The Score. And we got more to talk about. I want to hear your thoughts. Thoughts about this team. Did you, in fact, like what you saw? It seemed like a very well-put-together game, which is odd for the Bears. But, you know, who were you more impressed with? The offense finally coming around? Or the defense continuing to hold teams under 21 points? I want to take some phone calls. 312-644-6767. We'll do that on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez all the way till 5 a.m. right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.